Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. I hope you have heroes in the church, or heroes that are spiritual leaders. I have many that inspire me. One of mine is Pope John the 23rd. He was just a little fat Italian guy, big nose, you know, not much to look at, but he had the heart of Christ. And in 1959, he began something that revolutionized the whole Roman Catholic Church, Vatican II. And if Vatican II had happened back in the 15th century or 16th century, there would have been no Reformation, because many of the things that John the 23rd pushed for, so did Martin Luther. Unfortunately, because of that Vatican II, 100,000 priests resigned. But that didn't stop John the 23rd, even though it hurt, because he knew the Holy Spirit was leading the church to open the windows up and welcome the 20th century, now the 21st century. And one of the things he said as he opened Vatican II, his sermon, I'd like to quote from you this morning. He said, "They say that our era, in comparison with the past eras, is getting worse. We feel that we must disagree with those prophets of doom who are always forecasting disaster as though the end of the world were at hand. Rather, we need to be about the good news of Jesus Christ. We need to be about the evangel. We need to let the better angels of our souls rule." In this Advent season, on this fourth Sunday of Advent, I think it's good for us to hear Pope John's words again. In many ways, we are victims of the powers and the principalities that St. Paul talks about, of the air. They're called the stakeia, the elementary elements that are there, and it affect us. And we see this in television and magazines and newspapers and the internet, iPods, iTunes, TikTok, Twitter. They bombard us with images of a very different world, a very kind of dark world. There's good things there too, but mostly you get a sense that this world's going to hell in a handbasket. And it affects our moods. And in many ways, we are victims of the meaner, ruder, cruder, and more cynical spirits that present in our culture, treating each other and our leaders with disrespect. Like John the 23rd said, we need to remember who we are. We are baptized in Jesus Christ. We need to return to our baptism, to die to the old way of life of the pagans in the world and rise to the new way of life of Jesus Christ every day. And we need to be about that good news of Jesus Christ, the evangel, and let the better angels of God's Spirit in our soul rule. Today, St. Joseph, in today's gospel lesson, knew his rights. He knew the woman to whom he was about to be married was pregnant. He had no sexual relations with her. Out of wedlock. She was damaged goods. He knew his rights. He could have her stoned to death for fornication. It was written in the Torah, in the book of Leviticus. He had scripture on his side. The Bible was on his side. His neighbors probably said that she was a whore. And by saying, "I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you," he could have gotten rid of her. I imagine his spirit was very dark and very sad when he found out that this woman, well, actually this young girl, she was probably just a teenager, that he loved, was pregnant. Which meant she was probably unfaithful to him. How could he trust her? Yet, get this, he had a dream And an angel spoke to him in a dream. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. And he listened. Not with his moral teachings, not with his moral code, or to the gossip that was all around him, probably, because it was a small town he lived in. The gossip about Mary. He listened to his heart. He listened to his dream. And he listened to the angel of the Lord in a dream. A real angel. Now I've noticed that angels are getting more popular. Anybody here have an angel pin they wear? Okay, well, I've seen them. I've seen them out there. You go to Barnes & Noble. There's a whole section on angels. Remember a few years ago, there was television show, Touched by an Angel? You know, there was a Broadway show on angels. There's an angel depicted right there, an angel. Why? Why all these angels? Why are people interested in angels? I guess there are many reasons for this, but I think the bottom line is that we are becoming more and more aware that there's more to the world and more to reality than what we can see or smell or taste or hear or touch. There's more to it than that. There is another reality, another dimension, a place of love, a place of goodness. That there is another dimension from which we feel we're being watched over. Safety, guardianship. Something comes into our lives to we feel protected. Like the other day when it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon and the sun was in my eyes and I couldn't see that well and I was ready to pull out and I stopped and boom, the car went right past me on McKnight Road. There's something there. There's something to protect us and gives us love and a sense of peace. And we sense deep down in our soul that this is true. There's something else, don't we? Don't we sense this reality? For we disciples of Jesus, this is not new. Because throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, in fact, Dave, you're doing a whole book on this, right? People's experiences. How many people have you talked to? 60 or 70 people who experienced angels. I'm looking forward to that book. The Old New Testament talks about angels. And our Bible tells us that angels are messengers from God. In fact, in the Hebrew language, in the Aramaic language, in the Greek languages, the word messenger and angel are the same thing. A messenger is an angel. An angel is a messenger. And this message from God came to Joseph in a dream. He trusted the dream. He trusted in an angel. Joseph went against his moral code, his own understanding of the Word of God, his own understanding of Leviticus, his own rules of order against the religion, ethics, against the way of his village. And the Bible tells us he took his wife into his home, his pregnant wife, who he had no sexual relationships with. He took her into his home, for she was to have a son. And the angel told him this son would be Emmanuel, God with us, and he would save his people from their sins. Now, what do you think of that, huh? What do you think of that? What if you had a dream? You had an angel and said, well, boy, I shouldn't have eaten before I went to bed, right? I mean, you had this dream and this angels, and that's hard to wrap your mind around. Think of what his relatives probably said. Think of his own faith and doubt about this whole situation. He's basing his decision on a message he received in a dream given to him by an angel. And based on this angel's message, Joseph took Mary into his home. Wow! Would you do that? Think of all the pressure against that. Your reason, the people around you, your peers, but he listened to the dream and the angel. You know, last week, remember John the Baptist? He expected the Messiah to be the judge who would take and destroy the Romans, be a military leader, and Israel would be great again, like under King David and Solomon. And he sees this Jesus, and the lame can walk, the blind can see, the dead are raised. And he said, oh, is this the Messiah? And he had to change to see God's way, which was different than his way. This week, Joseph has to learn to trust God through the message of an angel given to him through a dream. And Joseph trusted God beyond his senses, beyond his ethics, and in grace, not judgment, but grace and the gift of trust, he took Mary into his home. And think about it. Think about it. Think about the risk God took. Gabriel coming to Mary and saying, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And what if she said, nope, nope. Think about the risk God took with Joseph. What if he would have said, well, no, she's pregnant. I don't care what kind of dream I had. I'm not going to take her, to an angel. What if he had divorced Mary? What if he had her stoned to death, which he could have according to Leviticus? Oh, he rationalized, God would have found another way. Don't be so sure. Don't be so sure. God's word comes to us as a gift, but if that word is not taken in and accepted and lived, then he will take his word to others. I mean, think about it. I mean, in Noah's day, the word came to Noah. There was going to be a flood. But the word came to other people. But Noah believed. Noah built the ark. Everybody said, oh, this guy's crazy. Look at him. And the floods came. And they were wiped out. And Noah and his family were saved. Well, let's not speculate too much here. But also, let's not drowsily say, oh, another Christmas story. Oh, Mary and Joseph got married. Oh, don't take it for granted. This miracle that took place. Don't forget the great faith of Mary and Joseph and the great risk that God Almighty took with this peasant girl and this faithful Jewish man. And Joseph believed and he took Mary in and they had a baby and they named him Jesus. Jesus. Mary and Joseph, by their response of faith and trust, also became messengers of the good news. In other words, they became evangelists. Evangelism. You know what evangelism means? Evangel? What does it mean? Good news. Gospel. Good news. Like the Christmas Eve angels who we'll hear about next Saturday night. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. For unto you is born in this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And the Christmas Eve angel spoke the evangel, evangelism. It's telling the wonderful news to someone else. It means you're so taken by the news. You're so gripped by this news, by this story. That the love and joy come into you. People can see it in your eyes. It spills over into your conversation. It affects what you do. It affects where you go. It affects how you spend your time. It affects how you spend your money. And if you write out the word evangelism, E-V-A-N-G-E-L-I-S-M, what do you see right in the middle of that? Angel. Angel. The word angel. And that's no coincidence. For an evangelist is also an angel. A messenger of good news. Of great joy. Those affected by the good news become evangelists. Angels. You know, when Mary got the news from Gabriel, what's the first thing she did? She took off and she saw her cousin, her relative Elizabeth, and she told And Elizabeth was so excited, and the baby in her womb just jumped for joy. Joseph, after hearing the good news, went against his law and customs and mores and rules, and he took Mary home as his wife, and he traveled with her to Bethlehem. They were God's angels. And so are you. So are you. God's word has come to you. God's word is with you today. Good news. Today, we sing the good news. We pray the good news. We hear the good news. We read the good news. We receive and eat and drink the good news. You see, hear, taste, and sing what God is doing. Now, I see. Okay, Eileen, how many are here today? How many people here today?
27.
I see 27 potential angels right here at St. Paul's Evangelical Lutheran Church. And like Joseph and like Mary, and you become an angel by taking that word into your heart, by believing this word, and then sharing that word, sharing that light in a world that's kind of dark at times. Please, don't be weighed down by the powers and principalities of this world, the stoicheia, the elementary spirits of this world in this age. As St. Paul says in Romans 12, do not be like the people of this world, but let God change the way you think. Then you will know God's will and how to do everything that is good and pleasing and mature. Let the good news of this day, of this story, this good news of Emmanuel, God with us, inspire you to be good news, to be the light, to be angels, to tell the good news, to be the evangelist, as St. John said, the 23rd reminds us, we need to let the better angels of our souls rule. Be angels. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.